or boy has ceased to be, reflect also upon man, who has no sure promise of anything, whom fortune does not inevitably escort to the confines of old age, but lets him go at whatever point she sees fit. You may, however, speak often concerning the departed, and cherish his memory to the extent of your power. This memory will return to you all the more often if you welcome its coming without bitterness. For no man enjoys converse with one who is sorrowful, much less with sorrow itself. And whatever words, whatever jests of his, no matter how much of a child he was, may have given you pleasure to hear, these I would have you recall again and again. Assure yourself confidently that he might have fulfilled the hopes which you, his father, had entertained. Indeed, to forget the beloved dead, to bury their memory along with their bodies, to bewail them bounteously and afterwards think of them but scantily, this is the mark of a soul below that of man. For that is the way in which birds and beasts love their young. Their affection is quickly roused and almost reaches madness, but it cools away entirely when its object dies. This quality does not befit a man of sense. He should continue to remember, but should cease to mourn. And in no way do I approve of the remark of Metrodorus, that there is a certain pleasure akin to sadness, and that one should give chase thereto at such times as these. I am quoting the actual words of Metrodorus. I have no doubt what your feelings will be in these matters. For what is baser than to chase after pleasure in the very midst of mourning? Nay, rather by means of mourning. And even amid one's tears, to hunt out that which will give pleasure. These are the men who accuse us of too great strictness, slandering our precepts because of supposed harshness. Because, say they, we declare that grief should either not be given place in the soul at all, or else should be driven out forthwith. But which is the more incredible or inhuman? To feel no grief at the loss of one's friend, or to go a-hawking after pleasure in the midst of grief? That which we Stoics advise is honorable, when emotion has prompted a moderate flow of tears and has, so to speak, ceased to effervesce, the soul should not be surrendered to grief. But what do you mean, Metrodorus, by saying that with our very grief there should be a blending of pleasure? That is the sweet meat method of pacifying children. That is the way we still the cries of infants, by pouring milk down their throats. Even at the moment when your son's body is on the pyre, or your friend breathing his last, will you not suffer your pleasure to cease, rather than tickle your very grief with pleasure? Which is the more honorable, to remove grief from your soul, or to admit pleasure even into the company of grief. Did I say admit? Nay, I mean chase after, and from the hands, too, of grief itself. Metrodorus says, there is a certain pleasure which is related to sadness. We Stoics may say that, but you may not. The only good which you recognize is pleasure, and the only evil pain. And what relationship can there be between a good and an evil? But suppose that such a relationship does exist. Now, of all times, is it to be rooted out? Shall we examine grief also, and see with what elements of delight and pleasure it is surrounded? Certain remedies, which are beneficial for some parts of the body, cannot be applied to other parts, because these are, in a way, revolting and unfit, and that which in certain cases would work to a good purpose without any loss to one's self-respect may become unseemly because of the situation of the wound. Are you not similarly ashamed to cure sorrow by pleasure? No, this sore spot must be treated in a more drastic way. This is what you should preferably advise, that no sensation of evil can reach one who is dead. For, if it can reach him, he is not dead. And I say that nothing can hurt him who is as naught. For if a man can be hurt, he is alive. Do you think him to be badly off because he is no more, or because he still exists as somebody? And yet, no torment can come to him from the fact that he is no more. For what feeling can belong to one who does not exist, nor from the fact that he exists? For he has escaped the greatest disadvantage that death has in it, namely, non-existence.